Hey Matt, do you ever wonder why we're here? Fighting for supplies and map control?
Hey guys, this is Jamie Johnston, and I'm with...
Mike the Birdman Dodd!
And today we have another exciting episode of The Prototype, but before that, let's talk about what we've been playing.
Well, this past week, as you guys know, author Tom Clancy passed away. And Very sad panda, because I just really got into his stuff. I just finished Splinter Cell Double Agent, which is over on Blistered Thumbs. I'm going through Rainbow Six Vegas right now. And before that, I was playing Grand Theft Auto V. You know what? I'm not touching the online for 3 weeks until it runs smoothly without issue.
Yeah, I've heard that it's a fucking nightmare right now.
And, you know, it's just not worth it playing something right at the launch if it's not going to work. Because, honestly, stuff like that makes me not want to play the multiplayer. So, you know what? Whatever. The single player campaign for me is where it's at. Like, there are very few games, and Jamie, you know this, where I really enjoy the multiplayer. I mean, Mass Effect 3 was one of them. And Halo 4. That's it. And Street Fighter.
Yeah, you really don't get along with multiplayer games too often.
I don't like getting my ass kicked so much where it sucks the fun out of it.
Whereas I'm the opposite. I like kicking ass so much that it sucks the fun out of it for them.
Yeah, see, I don't know. It's like two polar opposites. I've also...
Yes, I'm that asshole.
Well, fuck you. I've also been playing some stuff on my Wii U. I'm just getting ready to... hopefully get further into The Legend of Zelda The Wind Waker HD.
Did you finish Earthbound?
I have not. That's probably going to be during my Christmas break, actually, because I'm not going to record any new RADs from about the second week of December till probably just after MAGFest. That's what I'm planning to finish that. I also... there's a lot of RPGs that I just want to finish and just... get through, just, you know, to say, hey, I beat this motherfucker.
Looking behind me, I could easily say over 1,000 titles that have that in my name.
I'm looking at my shelf right now thinking, what do I want to finish? Well, I'd love to finish all the God of Wars. I'd like to finish the Resistance series. I'd like to finish Hitman Absolution.
Hitman Absolution?
Yeah, the most recent Hitman came out back early, I think January of this year.
Is that the name?
I think so.
Yeah. I don't remember.
I played it for about 5 or 6 hours, and I really liked it. But, you know, as often the case is with, like, game reviewers, you gotta keep moving forward. And I would love to finish front to back the new Pokemon games. Or maybe go back and finish an old one, like Fire Red or Leaf Green or something.
Yeah. See, I've been a little bit different. I've been playing betas. I've been playing a lot of the Battlefield 4 beta, which is currently out. Since we're actually going to be releasing this today, the day of the recording, it should still be out. I haven't checked today, but yeah, it's a lot of fun. I am noticing that the graphics don't look nearly as good as the trailers because I'm playing on an Xbox 360, and I assume their trailers are all from an Xbox One or PlayStation 4. I'm really excited for that game to come out. It's basically Battlefield 3 with a shit ton of improvements. They're really spouting this thing called Levolution, which essentially is an ever-evolving environment. So if you blow up a building, it'll actually, like, everyone has seen the skyscraper fall down and change the entire map in their one trailer. It's going to be really cool. I'm really excited for the fact that you're going to be able to spend just $10 to upgrade from, say, an Xbox 360 copy to an Xbox One copy. They're kind of doing that in case you aren't buying the next generation console right away.
Well, they're basically getting their money's worth from you either way.
Extra money, yeah.
Yeah, like, I think this is brilliant. Like,
it's a smart way to do it.
Yeah, like, I'm hoping that if you buy digital, that they'll allow you to do the same thing. Like, hey, here's a download code. Because that's the way of the future for Xbox One and PS4.
Other games I've been playing, like usual, I always get in the odd match of League of Legends, been playing a little bit of Final Fantasy XIV Realm Reborn, and I've been playing a lot of other things that I'm not going to talk about today, because they're mostly for the YouTube channel that is up and coming. By the next episode, I'll probably have a link in the description for my new up-and-coming YouTube channel. Which we've been talking about back and forth for the last couple of months, but it's finally at that point where I'm going to be launching it soon. So hopefully everybody wants to watch that and listen to me banter and be stupid, failing at games, etc. I actually recorded Battlefield 4, the first couple of matches of the beta there. And it was kind of hilarious when I listened to it myself of how confused I was of playing a shooter for the first time in a couple months. And it made me sad to realize I hadn't played a shooter in a couple fucking months.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping myself to enjoy Battlefield 4. Like, it looks really cool. Obviously, the big focus for me will be the single player. But I didn't suck when I played Halo 4 competitive. So if I can find the same fun that I got in 4 for Battlefield 4, maybe I'll try a few matches. As long as I'm not dying every 10 seconds from people quickscoping, I think I'll be happy.
Well, it's not Call of Duty. There's no quickscoping.
Thank fucking Christ for that.
But it is, it's not exactly like Halo is, because you don't have shields and it's a lot more a bullet to the head, you are going to be fucked. So it's a little more faster pace, but not to that extent, in my opinion, because the maps are so big, you can get away with not dying right away. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so on to today's topic. As we said last week, we're going to be talking about Nintendo handheld consoles. So we're going to start way back at the beginning, and we're going to go all the way to current, including this Saturday. There's going to be the 2DS coming out. We'll talk a little bit about it at near the end of the episode. So I guess, generally, when you say a Nintendo handheld console, you would start with the Game Boy, but I'm actually going to say we should start with the Game & Watch. Did you ever have a Game & Watch when you were a kid?
I think I did. I can't remember which one that I had specifically, but I've had a chance to handle one in the last couple of years, and I remember thinking, this seems really damn familiar. I think I had the Octopus one. I'm not 100% sure that, though, just because when I had it, I must have been like maybe 4, maybe 5. So my memories of it are quite hazy. But I know a few people that actually collect them, which is kind of awesome. I know Pat the NES Punk, I think he's got a full collection of them. And I think Billy and Jay from the Game Chasers, I think they found one at a thrift store in box for like $2.
I think I remember them telling me about that when they were here. I'm not sure on that one, though. It might have been another one of the old handhelds. They like finding the craziest things. I seek stuff out like that, too, but the deals they find down in Texas are just amazing. Our market up here is way different. For anyone that doesn't know what a Game & Watch is, basically it was one of the first handhelds that used like an actual screen, and it's not like a current age handheld. It actually just lit up different spots on the screen that were like preset. So a lot of it is not as interactive as, well, even the Game Boy. Essentially, it was all in black and green scale, I think, kind of like the Game Boy was. I don't think they didn't have a white background. Don't really know a lot about it, so we're going to skim over to where we probably both really started with our handheld Nintendo gaming experiences. The original Game Boy, which came out, I think it was in 1989, which is actually the year I was born. So I got one a little bit later than that, because obviously I couldn't play it as a baby. When did you get yours?
I got mine, I want to say I actually did get it the Christmas of 1989, though I didn't get a whole lot of games for it. I'm actually trying to figure out what the North American launch title's for. I think it was just like Tetris, and I think that was pretty much about it. I also remember getting Super Mario Land much later on. But yeah, I had my Game Boy for a number of years. It was almost consistently in my backpack, although it wouldn't be until high school that I'd really start to use my Game Boy like a metric shit ton. I remember I'd sit at lunch with my friend Jarrett, and he would bring his Game Boy. We'd use the link cable or that four-player hub thing, and we play Tetris during lunch.
Yeah, I do know that Tetris was one of the titles that was paired with a lot of them. For people that don't know, I've actually had a lot of people not know what a Game Boy was. Every time I say Game Boy, when I'm talking to people asking, do you have like these old consoles, you always think it's a Nintendo DS. DS is actually an entirely separate line from the Game Boy series. Essentially, the original Game Boy was just pretty much a brick. Like it looks like a brick. It's gray and the screen's green, uses black, almost looks like black ink for the screen. And it's pretty much, you could beat somebody with it. They would definitely die. So it's one of those things where it was such a marvel of technology, though. It took 4 AA batteries, which nowadays when I go to, as with having Noobs Video Games and selling a lot of these old things, when I pick up extras and all that, it baffles people nowadays that these things use batteries, that they don't actually charge. And I actually had somebody bring one back to me and say, I can't get this thing to work. I said, well, did you put batteries in it? They're like, well, I couldn't find the charger slot. Open it up for them, and they'd be like, oh, what goes in there? Well, AA batteries. Where do I buy them? I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, like, are you new? Like my yeah, God, I mean, you gotta be kidding me.
This was a parent, too. So it was like, you don't get batteries for anything, Miss whatever your name is? Like, come on, maybe for your dildo or something, you got that fucking charging from something, too? Like, Jesus. So anyway.
Vibrators do come with lithium cells. I'm curious. So feedback at thisweekingeek.net if you know the answer.
We definitely want to know, like, if you know, please send us. Please don't send us a link to anything, though. I don't want to see it in action. Some other really good games that I had as a kid for my original Game Boy. So, keeping in mind, everything has always been green and black at this day and age for its graphics. I had Ninja Turtles.
Yep, same here.
I really loved that game because I played it on the Nintendo all the time. And when my parents got me and my brother Game Boys, everywhere we went in the back of the car, we weren't those kids that were jumping over each other and beating the crap out of each other in the back seat and being told, shut the fuck up, or we're pulling the car over. No, we were sitting there, eyes on our Game Boys, the whole ride. The only time we freaked out was when the batteries ran out. And that was when our parents knew, fuck this, we're pulling over, we're getting them batteries, or we're going to have to deal with them as normal kids. So,
see, that's why you get the car charger kit.
We actually did. Eventually, my dad was just like, you know what, this is getting expensive. Is there any accessories? And they found the car charger thing. So we both had chargers and all that. Well, it's not really a car charger. It's more of just a car plug-in. Yeah. My brother actually got a lot more games than I did because, well, he was older, he had more of an allowance, and he worked on the farm and all that. He got a couple games that I would always ask him, hey, can I borrow this, and yada, yada, yada. Kirby's Dream Land, one of my favorite games of all time now. On the Game Boy, it was so fun. You had this little friggin' ball that was able to suck things up and spit them out stuff. Insert some sort of joke here.
Oh boy.
He had the first game that, in my opinion, was the hardest game I had ever played, and it was called Kid Icarus. So a lot of people should know of the series, right?
Yes.
Yes. The second game that he played, he handed to me, because, you know, my brother was sadistic. If I was borrowing the games, I was going to borrow the ones that he couldn't fucking play, so he would know that I wouldn't be able to play them, meaning I would stop asking him. The next one was Battletoads. That game was my newest, hardest game of my life, because, it's fucking Battletoads. It's even hard nowadays. So, we also had some stupider games like, you know, Play Action Football and stuff like that. What were your favorite games on the original game?
on the original Game Boy, yeah, I was also a huge fan of Ninja Turtles and the subsequent follow-ups to it. I remember liking the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers game for it.
I didn't even know there was one.
There was. What else did I really like? The Castlevania games, Castlevania Adventure and the like. Really enjoyed the Mega Man games for it, though you only got four Robot Masters in those ones typically.
Yeah.
That was for the Game Boy Advance, never mind. There was a Mega Man X port.
There's a Mega Man Extreme, and then there's also Mega Man 1 and Mega Man 2. I believe there's a Mega Man 3, but it's a little more rare. I'm actually got my collection out here, and I don't believe I have either my Mega Man 1 and 2 are hiding, or maybe I don't have them. I do have Mega Man Extreme because, I'm a huge Mega Man X fan. Another game that I ended up getting, but I got it a little bit later, was the first Final Fantasy Legend, which I thought was going to be like Final Fantasy 1 because I played that on the NES all the friggin' time. And it's completely different. I think in Japan it's actually, I want to say it's kind of on the Heroes of Mana or something, Sword of Mana. I want to say that, but I might be wrong. So if I'm wrong, please flame me at This Week in Geek. we want to hear from you guys. So the next console that came out, which I only got one recently, was the Game Boy Pocket, which came out in North America. It was 1996 is when that one came out. I never knew it existed as a kid, and I wish I kind of did because the Game Boy was a fucking brick in my pocket, which, yes, as a kid, I stretched my pocket so I could fit it because I wanted to carry that everywhere. The Game Boy Pocket is about the size of, I want to say, a little bit bigger than a phone nowadays for length and width. Definitely a lot more bulky. Did you ever have a Game Boy Pocket?
Yeah. I actually picked one up on the cheap, actually, on eBay for 99 cents a couple of years ago. Although I did have one when I was a kid, now that I think about it. I had a green one, which was really sweet. And I remember it got stolen from me at a party that I went to.
So if you stole that from Mike Dodd, please send me a message and I'll
come to your house and kick crap at you.
No, that's if they send you a message. If they send me a message, I'll congratulate them on stealing your shit.
I know this kid's name too. He was his name, the weirdest name I've ever heard for a kid. His name was Kwaku.
Kwaku?
Yeah, he was this.
You're pronouncing it wrong.
No. That is his name. That is what he told me.
That's what he told you.
Well, he was like, I think it was like grade 9 or something, and I was in grade 12. But yeah, because I had my own place in grade 12. I'm awesome! But he stole that and my copy of Pokemon Yellow.
Oh,
that son of a bitch! Because I had wicked Pokemon on that game, I might add. I'm a huge fan of the Game Boy Pocket, though, because I liked how small it was. I also liked that it only took two AAA batteries. And the screen, I felt, was somewhat better.
I think it was. I can't remember. Did it use the same screen? No.
No, I think it had much better contrast.
I'm trying to read on here, but it doesn't have much data on that.
Now, I was about to say thing that we kind of skipped over, which is my personal favorite of all the Game Boys, when they had the Play It Loud campaign. I remember them advertising this on the back of EGMs. I remember this in Nintendo Power. And my favorite one, I can't even remember how I got it, but someone gave me, or I found, or some, either it came into my possession, maybe through a dream. I had one of the awesome ketchup red ones.
There's a ketchup red Game Boy Pocket?
The original. Although there was red one too for the Game Boy Pocket. I remember there being a red and a green for sure. I think there was a yellow too. Actually, I had a yellow Pokemon Game Boy, but we'll talk about that later. But yeah,
I've got a blue pocket, and I've seen the original gray Game Boys. I've seen your red one. I want to say there was a blue one, but I don't know about that one. But yeah, I know the red one's rare as shit compared to the others.
That sucks. You know what I want for my birthday? 2 weeks, by the way. What I would love? I would love to get an original Game Boy. I would love to get one of the original Play It Louds. Honestly, any fucking color would be great.
Yeah.
But there's just something about the original brick Game Boy that I fell in love with. It was more comfortable in my hand compared to the Game Boy Pocket, which is strange, although the speaker was better in the Game Boy Pocket.
It's probably because the Game Boy Pocket was really, really meant for smaller hands, right? Because it was directed towards kids. So the Game Boy original, since it was a lot bigger, it just kind of went a little bit better for the larger hands, the older you got. I've pulled out my Game Boy Colors and Game Boy Pockets every now and then, and it's just like, wow, this is actually hurting my thumbs bending them in like that for so long. But the next one that came after the Game Boy Pocket, which we didn't get over here, and it sucks because it looks cool as hell, the Game Boy Light. It was over in Japan, released in 1998, and it's basically a Game Boy Pocket that looks closer to a Game Boy Color, so it's kind of more sleek and shiny, and it just all around looks way better. I don't know if it was any better. I just know, I know it still wasn't color, but it's just one of those things. The many things that Nintendo gives Japan that it doesn't give North America, this is one of them. So basically, with all three of these consoles, they all played the Game Boy original games. And the next console that came out for us was in 1998 as well, but we didn't get the Light, obviously. We got the Game Boy Color. This came in a multitude of colors, including see-through colors. There's the
Atomic Purple.
Yeah, the Atomic Purple, which is a see-through. I had as a kid, which I actually still have the box for, because this was about the stage when I started really getting into video games and I started getting things bought for me. And I was one of those kids that no matter what anyone said, I wanted to keep the boxes. And I have no explanation for as to why. Nowadays, it's like, holy shit, I'm so glad I did that. One, it looks better. Two, it's a collectible, blah, blah, blah. So I've got the original teal one, solid teal, not atomic or anything. I don't think there was an atomic teal. I know there was blue, there was purple, there was atomic purple, there was red, there was... What color did you have?
I think for my Game Boy Color, I remember having the Kiwi color. But I had, and my God, I want to kick my hoof in the teeth for getting rid of this one. I had the Pokemon Yellow Edition.
Yeah.
And although there was a problem with mine.
It's actually a problem with a lot of just that edition, not the regular Game Boy Colors. But yeah, the Pikachu edition / Pokemon Yellow edition. Essentially, there was bad wiring, so you can fix it fairly easily from what I've been told, if you know how to solder and stuff like that. But one of the wires is either bad or comes off real easy. So essentially your speaker just blows and you can still use it and you can pop in headphones and it'll still work and all that. But it was just some sort of bad wiring in there, which generally you can see them on eBay right now. I think they're like $100 with or without the problem. A lot of people will try to downplay that issue being like, oh, well, the speaker doesn't work, so you should, you know, take a shit ton of money off of it. Well, if anybody's knowledgeable, they can fix it. So,
see, I actually thought about doing that to mine. The thing is, I have very little solder experience.
Well, if you fuck up, you really fuck up, right? You could destroy the console, and if it's a special edition like that, then you really, a lot of people are scared to touch that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, I've only attempted to fix PS3s and Xbox 360s, but only after I watch the tutorial on YouTube and literally have it playing beside me while I'm doing this.
The only time I ever got around to doing that kind of thing was whenever I knew the warranty and everything was just great fucked, and they were like, you know what? You have to spend this much money. And I go, I could spend another $50 to get a new console, so I'll do that, and I'll try to fix this and sell it. the Game Boy Color was a fucking revolution in my childhood anyway. I don't know about other people, but it came with all kinds of awesome games. I don't know if it came with them, but it had all kinds of awesome games and was the first portable color gaming. So essentially it had, how many colors did it had? I think it was, these specs here are telling me 10, 32, or 56 simultaneous colors. So that, I don't know why it would have three different numbers for that. From a 32.768 color palette. Mm-hmm. No idea what that means. Anyway, it had at least 32 colors is what I'll say. I'm assuming the other things are just shades. But yeah, lots of games came out for this. You've got stuff like Zelda, Oracle of Ages, and Oracle of Seasons. Two amazing games. I played Oracle of Seasons, which anyone that knows the Zelda games, it's one of the best handhelds in my opinion. There's also, I don't want to discount, Zelda Link's Awakening or Link's Awakening DX, which I think DX was released for both of them. But if you played it on color, you actually got extra levels and stuff. What other games came out? There was a lot of the good Pokemons and stuff, but...
Well, you know what we forgot to mention?
Which?
The Super Game Boy.
Super Game Boy?
Yeah, for the Super Nintendo.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm talking about the handheld consoles, but yeah, the Super Game Boy.
Yeah.
Technically, it plays them, so...
Which was really damn cool, the fact that, Nintendo would even give us that option. I mean, it would be nice if, say, they would put a PSP adapter for the PlayStation, but I guess technically the PS Vita TV would be the next evolution of that, which there's talk of bringing it to North America.
You're able to kind of get games put on to the console and stuff with the PSP and the PS Vita, but not to the extent of literally having a cartridge that is able to put cartridges into like the Super Game Boy had. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it only played Game Boy games. They didn't make one for the Game Boy Color until a later console. They had, I want to say that it was just the GameCube. I don't know if there's one for N64. Well, N64 had Pokemon Stadium, which was able to play those games through the transfer pack, but I don't think you could play any game.
Yeah, but say there was no straight-up one that I'm aware of.
Yeah. GameCube does have the attachment. I've got one because it's the best way for me to be able to play the games and actually stream them and stuff still with the GameCube Game Boy adapter. It's a Game Boy Advance, but... Like still. The Game Boy Advance, I think it has the adapter to put in Game Boy and Game Boy Color games. I actually don't think I've tried that. I should make sure later. If I'm wrong, feedback of This Week in Geek, Jamie, you're an idiot. If I'm right, you can still send us a message of something. I don't know. Tell us what your favorite game was for each of these consoles as we go through them.
For the game, actually, I didn't have a lot of Game Boy Color games, although I do remember having Donkey Kong Country for it, which I remember this only specifically because I got really lucky. I found a brand new sealed copy at a flea market, picked up for $3, and then I turned around and sold it for $70. That's awesome. And that was $70 of credit at a comic book shop. So I probably could have got a hell of a lot more if I if I, you know, just talked them through it. I started the fallout of the Game Boys and a lot of the Nintendo handhelds pretty much after the Game Boy Color came out. I didn't pick up another Nintendo console until the Nintendo DS, and that's only because I got one for my birthday in 2007.
So this is actually, it's pretty funny because I'm about the same on that. I never got a Game Boy Advance. Like nowadays, with my collection being bolstered and me trying to go back and get all the games that people basically said, if you don't own these, you suck. I've gone back to get all the stuff that I missed out on because I think this was around the time where we started swapping to PlayStation and more. Those games were started to get a bit older and wasn't going on as many trips with the parents, being able to stay home and all that. So I didn't need handheld. So I didn't really have a Game Boy Advance. I did have a friend that played. He had a GameCube. Once again, I didn't have a GameCube. So that's another reason. They were able to actually be controllers for certain games on the GameCube. Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, I think, was the one you could play four-player if you used Game Boy Advances as the controllers. You could not do it with just the regular GameCube controller, which pissed me off. And I found that out because my friend was basically like, oh, well, just bring your Game Boy Advance and we'll play. And I'm like, I don't have a Game Boy Advance. Oh, well, We can't play then. And I'm like, what do you mean? You can't just use the regular controller? He's like, oh, no, it doesn't let you do that. And I'm like, oh.
That's stupid.
Yeah, pretty much. That's basically what I said. I was like, well, that's fucking dumb. So, like, nowadays, I've actually been thinking about picking up one of the original Game Boy Advances. They're basically a rectangle. They have batteries. They do take batteries. I believe it's two AA's. For the original style, and they've got a decent sized screen. Like it's bigger than Game Boy's, Game Boy Colors, all that. And it was actually a fairly good machine and has a very large library of awesome games. Like I only know this now, back then I didn't know. And nowadays it's also one of the most pirated cartridge games in the world as well. Because for some reason or another, they're very easy to recreate. So if you go on eBay, be very careful when you're buying games for them because a lot of times they're bootlegs. And a lot of the times they don't work either, such as games that have to save. They will basically just not save. So after the Game Boy Advance, you get into the Game Boy Advance SPs, which I believe I saw you had one nowadays. Well, at some point you did.
I probably sold it through you.
Yeah, probably. I've got a red one, I believe. And
I think I had the Arctic white one.
That one's a little more rare.
Well,
or wait,
fuck balls.
Arctic white. I don't think there was an Arctic white SP. I think that was the original Game Boy Advance.
Oh, right. The SP is the flip phone.
Yeah, it's basically a little. It rather than being a rectangle, it's now a square, which flips out to being a rectangle.
I'm pretty sure I had the red one.
Yeah. So there's actually two versions of these. There's one that's actually front lit, and the other one is backlit. So I believe it's the backlit one is actually not very bright and it's really hard to see. Like, well, it's not hard to see. It's just not as awesome as the front lit ones. It's just a much brighter screen. Everything about it looks better. But the rest of them look the exact same. I believe they're on the back. There's a serial number AGS or ABS something 001 and 101. One of them's, I think, 101 might be the friend lit. I don't know. Look it up before you go to buy one on eBay if you do. Because the front lit ones are definitely, in my opinion, they're better. Usually they're a little more expensive too, I think. But basically, for games that came out that I know you've at least played and games that I have in my collection, these will be one. I didn't play them as a kid, obviously. I got them recently. There's the Zelda Minish Cap. There's Zelda Force, or sorry, Zelda
Four Swords Adventures.
Yeah, Link to the Past thus Four Swords, which the Four Swords part of it is kind of a, I think it came out near Four Swords Adventures, which was for GameCube, and it's got a bit of a tie-in to that. So it's got a little bit of multiplayer, some silly thing. There was Metroid games. There was Kirby Nightmare and Dreamland, which from I haven't played it yet. I actually picked it up recently, and I've been told it's one of the best Kirby games in existence. So I'm looking forward to that. Breath of Fire was remade on it. Breath of Fire 2 was remade on it. You had like the Fire Emblems, Final Fantasy Tactics, Mario and Luigi, Superstar Saga. Like there's just a multitude of amazing games on these. And a lot of them I haven't even picked up because I had no interest in. Well, I only have so much money, basically. So it's got a very good library of games. But like I said, if you go to pick any of them up, make sure you kind of check into it. It might be even a good idea if you're not doing eBay and buying them from a shop. Buying them, for my website, you really don't need to because straight up, I clean every single one of them. I make sure they're all legit copies. Most stores don't, though. There's a lot of Pokemon games out there that are bootlegs. So if make sure you bring your console, pop it in, and if it something seems wrong, you might not want to buy it.
Yeah, because I've got a bootleg Pokemon Yellow, actually. A Chinese and I found it in the most random place in the world. I found it in Barrie, where you're currently living.
Yes.
And that's the last place I expected a Chinese bootleg to show up.
I think I actually saw that one. I don't remember. I thought maybe it was just a special edition from Japan, but
it could be Chinese, for all I know.
I don't know. We didn't really look into that after looking and seeing that it was different. So maybe you have the rarest copy in existence. I don't know. Anyway, after that, there's actually a handheld console that was really overlooked by a lot of people. I really want one, and it's only for the fact that it just looks interesting to me. It was the Game Boy Micro. I really don't know why they didn't call it the Game Boy Advanced Micro, because it is a Game Boy Advance, and it plays... I believe it only plays Game Boy Advance games. The Game Boy Advance SP and Game Boy Advance were able to play Game Boy, Game Boy Color, and Game Boy Advance. So that was something really cool about the Advance SP. If you want to get any of these games, I would say just pick it up. You don't have to pick up all the different consoles just because you'll be able to play them all. But the Game Boy Micro was so late in the Game Boy Advance cycle. Like, I think it came out... September 2005, whereas the Advance was Advance SP was 2003 and the Advance was 2001, and I'm fairly sure the DS came out just after it, 2004. So it actually came out before it. So that's why not many people know what it is. Basically, it's just a little tiny SP. It's more rectangular. I've been told that it actually has the best screen. It has a really great processor in it, so it'll just blow the crap out of the games. Like, it'll... Okay, that doesn't sound right. That sounds bad. It's just the best possible console out there for the time, for handheld. But yeah, it was released after the Nintendo DS, which the original Nintendo DS... You had one of these, didn't you?
Yep. I actually got this for Blair for a Christmas present. I got her the original DS, the brick version, the fat version, yeah. Which had a really shitty screen.
Yeah, they also had a really shitty hinge in them, which most of them that you find will have a broken hinge. Just because the way they designed it, it was so easy to put too much pressure and break the damn thing. They almost look like a makeup case, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'd say that's a pretty accurate description for it.
Pretty much. It's still got the standard D-pad, and now they have four buttons on them. I think all the other ones only had two. Yeah, they did.
But it was really easy to accidentally turn these things off, if I remember correctly.
I think if you close them, they just turned off, yeah.
Well, I mean during gameplay, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah, because I think the power button is actually up near the buttons.
Or something like that, yeah.
See, I don't have one, and I don't really want one just because they do break pretty easy. But it is one of those things of, because they break easy and because they had a limited run until the Nintendo DS Lite came out, they're a little more rare. So if you're collecting all of the handheld consoles, you do need to pick one up. They're not any more expensive than a DS Lite. If anything, they're usually cheaper because people don't really care about it. The DS Lite had some upgrades compared to it. One, it now looked like a rectangle again that could flip open and have the dual screen, which, by the way, Nintendo DS is dual screen. If you couldn't figure that out, well, feedback at This Week in Geek will send a letter bomb to you instead of the other way around. Just kidding.
Not that we endorse terrorism.
Yeah, no terrorism here. But no. Basically, the difference between them was pretty much nothing other than they fixed all those issues where it breaks really fucking easily. I think the screens are actually a little bit wider. They're more like widescreen than just fucking rectangles, which is good because, you know what? That was around the time that game developers and technology developers started to realize we actually see in wide view. That's how our eyes work. So everything started doing that, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are some DS games that you found really memorable when you first got it?
For me, I'm just looking at my collection right now and I really wish I had my glasses on. I really liked the Guitar Hero games, actually, for it, which came a little bit later in the life cycle. I liked... Actually, you know what? Hold on. Let me go look. So, entertain the people for, like, 30 seconds.
All right. Well, I can basically say what mine were. I actually picked up my DS Lite when I was in university, which it was a couple of years after these launched. Like, I think the DSi, DSi XL were out, and I was like, you know what, I don't need that bullcrap, I'm just gonna get the DS Lite. And I played a ridiculous amount of games on it. I played a lot of the Final Fantasy remakes. Looking at my collection, that's what it mostly is. Mega Man, Battle Network 5, I tried out randomly. I didn't try any of the ones before it. It was just kind of given to me, and I was like, oh, this is kind of fun.
Chrono Trigger!
Yeah, I was getting to that. Yeah, Chrono Trigger for sure. There's the Mega Man Zero games that I believe they were on Game Boy Advance, but I played it on Mega Man Zero Collection, which basically bunched them all together and had, I think, all four or five games.
Five.
Is it five?
Yeah, pretty sure.
Yeah, they're fucking epic.
Which evidently that collection is hard to come by.
Is it?
Yeah, because I remember when I asked for a review copy from Capcom a couple years ago, like, well, we don't have a whole lot of this.
Well, like, I have really? A copy and I'm happy because it's my favorite shit ever.
Right.
I just love the Mega Man X and Mega Man Zero series. Like, Zero series kind of stems off of the X series, but it's its own thing. And I just, Zero has always been my favorite character from the Mega Man universe. I like him in the Mega Man X series a little bit more, but he's still technically the same. Is there any other ones that you have sitting over there?
I'm looking at them right now. You know what game I think is an unexpected gem? It's a game called Lego Battles.
Ninja Battles or Ninjago?
No, it was just called Lego Battles. It was like this RTS but with Lego guys.
Really?
Yeah, I remember that being awesome. I remember it being a shit ton of fun. Another one I really liked was Ninja Gaiden Dragon Sword. Really good. Scribblenauts.
Oh, Scribblenauts is so fun.
That
was a genius game when it came out.
Another one, which I think more people should play because I think it's really neat, it's called Aliens Infestation, and it's a Metroidvania-style game, but with aliens. Huh. So if one of your Marines dies, he's dead. Like, that person stays dead, and the game gets harder.
Is it bad that every time somebody says aliens now, all I can think is Colonial Marines, and I kind of shudder?
We'll never shake that stigma, and that's really unfortunate. Although, the last bit of DLC for Aliens Colonial Marines kind of redeemed it, but not really. It was okay for $5. Can't bitch about that. That, and you got to play as Hicks. But
that's the only reason it was redeemed.
Pretty much. But yeah, I collected a lot of games. In fact, the Nintendo DS is the one system where I don't often get rid of games. Like, another one that I really like, and this is another, it's annoyingly hard to find. It was called the Retro Game Challenge. That's fucking cool. I picked that up. I think I got that. I think that was from Atlas. That's another thing, too. There's a publisher that you should check out. And I know a lot of their games came with a lot of really neat pre-order shit. It was from a company called Atlas. They do... they just got bought out by Sega, but they do the Persona games and shit like that.
I actually love Atlas. It's one of my favorite companies.
Yeah, they're sick.
With that being said, I'm very worried that it's been bought out. I'm scared that could destroy the quality of... Well, it's less of a quality issue. It's more of they have a unique style of games. There's a lot of knocking going on upstairs.
Terrorists.
Anyway, before the terrorists get me. Yeah, I mean... They've got the Persona games, which is a very large series. There's, I want to say that... No, that's Nippon Ichi Software. Off the top of my head, I can't really think of them.
I thought of another fun game that I like, and yet another Atlas title. It's a game called Tokyo Beatdown. It's like Streets of Rage, but for the DS, and it's just incredibly fun. It's got a great sense of humor about itself as well.
I'd say the Shin Megami Tensei games are Atlas.
I think I'm not so. Sure. I'm pretty sure they are.
Yeah, it's a good company. I mean, check out those games. If you're into JRPGs and tactics, anime kind of style, you'll really enjoy anything made by Atlas, pretty much. Which were we on to next? DSi. When you were walked away, I had said that I... got a DS Lite, and I got it around the time DSi and DSi XL were out, and I said, fuck that gimmick. Basically, it's a Nintendo DS Lite, but with a camera in it. And there is a very select amount of games that use the camera and were DSi-only games. Did you bother getting a DSi?
You know, it's the only one that I don't have.
Because it's just a gimmick.
Well, I remember, and I can't remember how this came about, but I used to have a roommate, and we owed money for rent or something. And the DSi had just come out, and we're thinking, and I'd sold off shit to make rent so we could all, you know, live. And I remember this kid getting pissy, going like, dude, we need money, you might have to sell your, like, DSi. And he's like, and he got all super pissy about it. I remember that specifically. But the DSi, I always wanted one because they came in like really weird colors. But yeah, and then there was the DSi XL, which I'm trying to remember. You know what? Let me look. I think I have one. Hold on.
Well, it's actually kind of funny. With the DSi XL, even when I was working at EB Games, I kind of considered it a gimmick as well. I was like, why would you want to buy the same thing, only slightly bigger? But when I went out and got a 3DS XL, they were on sale for lower price than the regular 3DS. And after looking at your 3DS compared to the size of mine, I'm like, wow, this really is a much better experience. So I can see why that XL thing kind of came out.
Yeah, I do not have a DSi XL, but I do have a DS XL, which is my preferred platform to play DS games on. But I like my original DS, DSX, the smaller one.
The DS Lite?
Yeah, the DS Lite. Okay. I like that for playing my Game Boy Advance games. Although I suppose I could use my GameCube, but that means I have to hook up the GameCube and just... First world problems, Jamie. First world problems.
Yeah. That's actually another thing I should mention. The DSi was the start of the Game Boy Advance games not working in DSs. They took out the... there's a little port for Game Boy Advance games to go into the original DS and the DS Lite, which... That's why I still have my DS Lite, because, hey, if I want to play Game Boy Advance games, I can take that one. But yeah, then, so DSi and DSi XL, which this is a trend that I'm really starting to get annoyed with from Nintendo. They released something like a DSi. April 2009, and then DSi XL was March 2010. So 1 year later, they released the XL, which everybody wants the XL. So they're basically trying to make everybody buy two consoles, which is fucking annoying. The 3DS, which is the current generation console, came out in 2011, March. And then August 2012, they released the XL. So once again, they tried to Jew people. I just think it's a dirty tactic. Why not just make them all XL? Like, because they generally end up coming around to being the same price once they've launched. Just my opinion. I think they're just trying to get extra money out of people, and it's, I don't know. Did you have any DSi? Or, well, you didn't have a DSi. Never mind. I was going to say, did you have any of the DSi specific games? I can't even think of any of them.
I did have one, actually. I did have one, and I think it was called Photo Fight or something like that, or Photo Dojo. It was something weird. It was an actual cartridge game. I got sent it from Nintendo, and I remember writing them saying, guys, I don't have this console. What the hell do you want me to do with this? Because you actually needed the console to play this motherfucker.
Yeah.
So
it just needed the damn camera, which I think those games work in the 3DS just because it has a camera. But
mm-hmm.
So the 3DS, basically, I think this was kind of what people were starting to think. You had the Nintendo DS. You had the Nintendo DS Lite. You have the Nintendo DSi. You had the Nintendo DSi XL. Nothing has really improved on any of these consoles. They threw in a camera, whoop-de-doo. They made it a little bit sleeker, whoop-de-doo.
Well,
I think people were starting to get
sucked anyway.
Yeah, people were starting to kind of go, okay, what the fuck, Nintendo? You're not really giving us a new console. You're just trying to bleed us for money. When the 3DS came out, it had a really, really cool concept. Basically making it so that you can play mobile games in your lap, in your hand, whatever, but it would actually come to life and be a true kind of 3D that would come out, and it would look 3D without 3D glasses. Really cool concept. The only issue is, and I don't know if you're the same as me, but every single person that I have talked to that has a 3DS, myself included, turns off the 3D function right away. Like, as soon as I unboxed it, I used it for maybe 5 minutes, turn it off, and I've never turned it back on. I've got three friends that did the same, except for certain cutscenes in games. They turn on the 3D for just a temporary, hey, it's going to look a little bit cooler. But it's one of those functions that I find nobody gives a shit about.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, or in my case, it hurts my eyes, because your eyes are not meant, they're not built for that kind of technology. It looks kind of cool if you're at an exact specific spot to see it properly, but I don't know. There's like a 1% chance I'm going to get into that spot before I go, okay, this is hurting my eyes. Fuck this. What kind of experience do you have with that? Like, do you have a lot of people that said the same?
Not really. I mean, I actually kind of like the 3D effect, but I find it only really works for certain games. Like,
yeah.
For example, Luigi's Mansion Dark of the Moon. You need the 3D for that, really, I think. Although I didn't much care for the Star Fox 64 one.
Yeah, see, for 3D games, I don't have much of a library for it yet, because I only got my 3DS, I think, last year. And I'm very, very select on the games that I buy just because I don't have the money to be forking out to every single company. Like, if I could, I would love to buy every game that ever came out. But, hey, can't always happen. And I do a lot of, with my business, with Noobs Video Games, I do a lot of trades and stuff to actually get my games. So the games that I do have, the one that I actually bought the console for, the whole reason I wanted it was... Fire Emblem, I believe Fire Emblem Awakening. I think it's up right now, having votes for it being Game of the Year on Golden Joystick. It's a phenomenal 3DS game. I didn't turn on the 3D function once again. It's standard Fire Emblem in the sense of, you know, people die, they die permanently. This is the first one that actually had a mode where you could play it on like an easy mode where they don't die permanently, which that's just dumb. I've also got Star Fox 64 3D, which that was actually thrown in by Future Shop, I think is where I bought it. I bought it when it was on sale, and when I went in, this wasn't in any of their flyers. Their flyer said it was on sale for a good price. So I go in, go to buy it. This is up in North Bay, by the way, whenever I'm going up to North Bay to meet one of my buddies to party and drink all weekend. Basically, I walk in there and say, I can't handle anymore. I want to play this fucking game because he's been teasing me all day because he has it. So I go to buy it because it's on sale there. And they're like, oh, and you also get this game for free, too. And I'm like, well, what game? There's only, like, one other game I want right now. It's Star Fox. And they're like, oh, it's Star Fox. Well, fuck, throw it in. Sweet. So $40 game for free while it was on sale as well. Like, I believe I also got, the other day, I picked up Zelda Ocarina of Time remade in 3D. Haven't got to play it yet. I got it at the last swap there. Somebody traded in for a bunch of stuff, and that's what my business is about, trading in to get the things I want. So what games do you have? Well, okay, you probably got a lot of games. What are your favorite games?
On the 3DS, my favorite has got to be Luigi Dark of the Moon, I think that's it. But overall, hands down, the one that was in my system for so goddamn long, Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition. I played that retarded amounts.
Really, yeah. You weren't burnt out from the console versions?
Christ, no, dude. I took this thing everywhere. Although, I lost my copy. When I went to MAGFest this past year, somehow, some way, I lost my 3DS, my aqua blue one that I got at launch with over 900 street passes, including Reggie from Nintendo and all these really famous motherfuckers. I lost. God damn it. But I really like a lot of the Virtual Console stuff on it. And I'm really surprised how much they're actually stepping up their game, releasing, you know, games people give a shit about. For a change. I like the fact that I can play all the Mega Mans on there. Yeah, I've actually got all six on there. Now,
it's actually kind of funny. Most of the games that we said for those old consoles have been put onto the Virtual Console.
Now, I wish they'd port Super Nintendo games for this. But I could see maybe why they're not, because they're maybe a little harder to see on that screen. I mean, I would love Super Metroid on this, for example. But I can see why they don't. I'm trying to think of other ones I really enjoyed for this. Mario and Luigi's Dream Team, I thought was actually a lot of fun.
That came out recently, didn't it?
Yeah, fairly recently. Kid Icarus Uprising needs a lot more love than what it got.
Okay, I actually have a story about that one. When I was working at EB Games, the Nintendo rep actually came in. They brought a copy. It was to basically for us to advertise and learn about the game. And this was the one and only time I ever saw a Nintendo rep in our store. I was told that they come every week. Yeah, sure. Nice. They do. Anyway, so they set up this little stand. They hand me the stylus. They hand me their 3DS. I think it was just a regular 3DS. I'm not sure. And it was basically like a demo copy that we were allowed to have in the store and show people. Which, you know, later on we started being yelled at of like, oh, well, you're just playing it in the store. No, we're fucking showing people, asshole. EB Games sucks. Anyway, basically, they didn't have the version where there was this attachment that 3DSs and 3DS XLs, like, I don't know if there was for 3DS XL. Anyway, it was the secondary analogs that you could attach to it, and you could have another analog on the right-hand side. That attachment, like, they didn't have that. They just had it with a stylus and you hitting buttons with your other hand. The way this was set up, I swear to you, in like the 5 minutes I was playing it, I was going to have carpal tunnel. Like, I stopped because I'm like, I can't play this anymore. This is hurting my hands, and I use my hands for everything. So they're pretty calloused, and, you know, I can snap my wrist into the mic right now from – they're like a grinder. But – if it had that analog attachment, I think it would have been an amazing fucking game. Like, it would have been the best game that I had played that year. But where did that go? Did you ever see where that attachment went? It got recalled and disappeared.
Really? Because I've still got – I've got mine. I think it's on my white shelf right now.
There's the odd EB Games that I've seen that still have the odd one, but it's one of those attachments that, like, it's sold out. And then we never got any more when I was working there. And then from what I've been told, they don't make them anymore. And it's like, why? Why? That is one of the best attachments for the Resident Evil games, for the Kid Icarus game. All kinds of games that attachment would be worth buying for its price to make those games that much better. I don't understand. Nintendo's odd like that, where some things that would be very beneficial just kind of disappear every now and then. Yeah, if you're playing that game, does it work with the analog, the extra analog?
I don't remember off the top of my head.
Because aiming with the stylus is stupid.
Yeah, I'll definitely say that.
I won't lie. The stylus, I think, it's a great thing for the games that are built around it solely, that are meant for kids and all that stuff. But when it comes to those hardcore games like Kid Icarus, don't force it. Like, God damn, don't force that in, because the controls on that were just fucking stupid for using a stylus. If you had the second analog to aim, it would have been amazing, because basically you had to hold your left or right hand with the stylus, use the other hand to be pulling the trigger to shoot, while still using, I think, the D-pad to move around. So you, like, a shooter game, easy. Move around with the D-pad, aim with the other, or move around with the left analog, aim with the right analog, and shoot. Easy, easy. Not with a stylus. Your hand covers half the screen. The stylus isn't very responsive. Well, it is, but it isn't. I don't want Nintendo fanboys sending me flame mail being like, my Nintendo 3DS has the best response in the fucking world. No, okay, it's good, but it's not as good as a fucking analog. You agree?
Yes, absolutely.
My rant's kind of started to make you go quiet.
I decided it wasn't worth interrupting this train of anger.
Well, it's just, I hate how all of these 3DSs should have been built in with a second analog, just my opinion. They have a spot right underneath the four buttons that would be perfect for it. Just saying. And so many games could utilize that. But hey, now that they've gone to a 3DS XL and the next generation, well, I use generation loosely on this one, most of the games don't seem to be trying to use that kind of function. So with that being said, this Saturday, there's going to be the Nintendo 2DS. What are your thoughts on this? I'm about to go on a rant, so I'll let you
know. You know what? I'm actually kind of looking forward to this. I actually requested a review unit from Nintendo. I think it's a nice option if you don't want the 3D, and I think it takes the price down a fair chunk too.
I think it takes down either $40 or $60.
Although I don't like the design of it.
I'm going to entirely agree with you. Because I don't use the 3D function, I think it's great that it's just, you know what? A 2DS, which, stupid name. I don't even know how to explain that. The 3DS games are able to be played on the 2DS, but because they've done a stupid bonehead move by naming it the 2DS, they're going to run into the exact same thing as the Wii U. Well, actually, the Wii U won't even have this issue. people are going to come into game stores and say, where's your 2DS section? And every single time that happens, a EB Games or other game store worker is going to want to shoot themselves or that customer. Because then you have to explain that in the nicest way possible that they're retarded. But without saying that, God, I hated working there. Nowadays, I just be like, you're a fucking moron. But yeah, basically, the only thing I don't like about it, like you were saying, the design, it looks like a, what is the word people have been using? An axe head. Like, it's...
just so dumb looking?
Is the auto shape ever, like, it's the same shape where it uses the two screens, but it does not fold in the middle. And it's a bit bulkier on the one side, so it's kind of like an axe head.
It's almost like a Fisher-Price toy.
Yeah, it just looks so lacking.
Yeah, it's basically a toy, which means it might be a little bit more rugged.
I don't know about that, because every time I've seen somebody ask a Nintendo rep about, you know, like certain things like scratching the screen, and it's like, is there any extra screen protection because now it's exposed? And they just say it will be using the same protective, what do they say? They say some mumbo jumbo about an awesome protective screens that all of their Nintendo products would use. And it's like, okay, so they're saying it's the exact same as the other ones and that it will scratch like a motherfucker now that it's no longer protected. Mm-hmm. Except they're trying to dodge that bullet. The thing that I don't understand here is why didn't they do the exact same thing, take out the components, that's the 3D, get rid of the Switch and all that, just do a 3DS that folds up and everything, still fits in our... Well, okay, and 3DS XL should not really fit in most people's pockets. My pockets are huge, so they do fit, but most sane people have smaller pockets. It fit in your backpack, whatever. It's still protected and more compact, right? Whereas this thing is literally going to be a brick that you're going to drop just because it's the way things are. When it's bigger, it's more unwieldy. You're going to drop it. So if it's not stronger in the material, which they're trying to cut costs, right? So it's probably going to be a cheap, shitty plastic. I have a theory that there's going to be a lot of commotion about 2DSs being broken. What do you think?
I hope not. I really hope these things are tougher than what they're actually kind of looking like, so I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, and you know damn well that since it's what been a chain of a year and 1 month, I think, so it'll be next year, 2014, in November, there will be a 2DS XL. You know it's going to happen. And I don't know. It's one of those things of the 2DS idea of taking away the 3D, making it cheaper, more accessible to people that don't want to spend that much money, the people that are turning it off anyway, which even in the manual says do not play this for more than I think an hour, maybe 2 hours at the most with the 3D function, which I don't know about you, but kids nowadays, me nowadays, when I sit down and play a game, I'm going to play it for 5 hours. It's just what I do. So there might be destroying the youth's eyeballs. I think they should have just removed the 3D function, which should make it $40 cheaper anyway. Mm-hmm. You would think so, but I don't know. I think it's a great idea, but they've failed at the delivery and design, which is about the same thing I say with almost all of Nintendo's hardware nowadays, like the Wii U. Great idea, but no. People are past that kind of gaming, in my opinion. They've started to come back for sales and everything. We've discussed this, whether they're dying or not. They're coming back, but for how long, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think we pretty much talked the gamut of all this, haven't we?
Yeah, I can basically say end rants because the last 10 minutes have probably just been me ranting about how much I don't understand what Nintendo's doing. So with that being said, on the launch day of the Nintendo 2DS, which is this Saturday, I believe it's supposed to be worldwide. Then again, the 2DS might not be worldwide. It might be only North America. But worldwide alongside it is going to be Pokemon X and Y. And if you haven't noticed throughout this episode, we've actually been trying to dodge the Pokemon bullet on all of these consoles. So we have actually purposely omitted probably 15 plus games that are amazing for all of these handheld consoles that we've been talking about. And there's a reason for that. The next episode, which we're going to be airing, I believe we're going to do Monday. What day is Monday?
Monday would be the 14th.
Yeah, we're going to try to have it out for the 14th. Because this episode's going to release today. We're going to release that just after we've had a little bit of exposure to playing the X and Y games, which we're going to be getting on that day, on Saturday. So we're going to have an episode all about Pokemon. We're going to be discussing all of the video games from the original Game Boy all the way to Pokemon X and Y. What has changed through them all? We're even going to go into a little bit about the new anime that was released. It's, I think, a 4 or 5 episode thing about the Pokemon Origins. We might touch a little bit on the cartoon that has been going for forever, but, you know, we're not huge fans of that one. And we're even going to talk about the cards a little bit. So just everything Pokemon in that episode in kind of a relation to Pokemon X and Y coming out, a celebration of Pokemon. And I know you're excited for the game coming out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the first Pokemon game I've been legitimately excited for in years. Although I do think the Mega Evolutions, that may be what turns me off of it.
Digimon, Digital Monsters.
Yeah, exactly. So it'll be interesting to see how this all works out in the end. Regardless, though, it'll be kick-ass. I know Laura from the Untitled Mike and Laura Project is getting one or has one already. I should have my review copy in the next couple of days, hopefully. Although Nintendo's providing them digital codes, which is a little weird. I wonder how trading between the games would work if you have both and they're digital.
It still works because everything's through a trainer ID, which is linked to the copy of the game, which even a digital copy will have its own ID number. So essentially, it should be about the exact same. And I assume if you're able to transfer your game to another SD card, it will carry that ID number. I'm not entirely sure how they do that because, well, I don't program fucking Pokemon. But I think it should be a smooth transition for you.
I'm excited, though. Either way, although one thing I do think is kind of bullshit is that you can't trade your last generation Pokemon into the new one until December via the PokeBank app. But we'll talk about that next episode.
We certainly will. So you've been
Mike the Birdman Dodd.
And I've been Jamie J.J. Johnston saying life is like a box of Pokemon. You know what you're going to get. It's going to be fucking Charizard and Bulbasaur and Squirtle. You don't want the evolutions of those, okay? Bum 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 b